With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. For Yahoo Sports Canada, I'm your host, William Liu. Joining me on the podcast on this lovely-ish Friday is Josh Hart. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Will. It's good to be back. It's been a couple months. We last did the show together when the Raptors got eliminated at the hands of Boston Celtics. So it's nice to reconnect, see even to look forward to again. And inside times to look forward to as well.
Yeah, I was going to say.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's getting busy again, which is kind of nice, quite honestly, because I think I just need that like constant stream of NBA messiness in my life. You know what I mean? Because the NBA is a really messy league. Like we just saw on Wednesday or Thursday, it just comes out all at once. Oh yeah, the Rockets. Everyone's unhappy.
They're James over. Harden's, it's finished.
It's done. They're done. Right. I mean, to be honest, if you watched any of those Rockets Lakers games, they gave up. They flat out gave up in many of those games. So I'm not surprised.
My favorite response from the Rockets was Daniel House coming back from whatever's going on in his life to say, I too am unhappy with the Rockets. Like, my guy, don't you have stuff to worry about at home?
I believe his name officially has changed to Daniel House Wrecker, but that's his business. and apparently Adam Silver's. So Westbrook wants out. James Harden wants out. James Harden's mad at Austin Rivers for distracting him during a free throw. I mean, this is some childish stuff right there. Meanwhile, Victor Oladipo doesn't seem happy with Indiana. He was telling teams during games, can I come run with y'all?
Yep.
Which is quite hilarious, but also just like an objectively dick move to make, to be honest.
Yeah, it's very disrespectful to Miles Turner.
How could you do that in front of TJ McConnell, man? Come on.
How could you do it to one of the Holiday brothers? I don't remember which.
All of them. All of the Holiday brothers.
Yeah. That's crazy. Victor Oladipo, I remember back in the day when he'd like sing at the dunk contest. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he was such like a sweet guy. And he's sure maybe still is, but has like a real sort of villainous streak to him. I guess it's like all of the like Jeremiah impressions he did on his crappy album that it inspired him to be a dick in real life.
Did you listen to the Victor Oladipo album?
Yeah, I like that kind of music. Like,
Yeah, you do.
I like Jeremiah, I like Tidal, so I gave it a try. It sucks, but I did listen to it.
Was there one
that kind of music? Didn't you listen to it?
No, I didn't. I know better than to NBA player music, man. Come on.
But it's not terrible. The ceiling is low. Like,
it's not terrible.
To me, it's not terrible. I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if he had like James Fauntleroy write the songs for him. Mm. He's not charismatic. He's like just whatever.
Well, look, listen.
Shout out to our fedora wearing god. They're going to trade Norm Powell for him, so we got to get used to it.
I was going to say, if he comes to the Raptors, then I'm definitely going to be changing up my tune. Honestly, I mean, when he did some of the covers, I thought he was okay. He could clearly sing. Realistically, to become a professional singer or to become a professional basketball player, I mean, either one is like, very, very difficult to do. So to be able to do both is pretty difficult.
I mean, he's not a professional singer, but yes, he's very good at singing.
I mean, people tolerate his singing because he's an NBA player. And also he has some talent as well. The NBA is messy. I love it. A lot of teams are, making moves. The draft is coming up. People are talking about trades. People are talking trash about the prospects. People are maybe moving up or down. I have no idea. To be honest, the Raptors don't leak anything. So it's all very one-sided. Team's very interested in Fred. Team's very interested in Serge. By the way, not a single report about Marc. Huh? Poor Marc Gasol. The only one interested in Marc Gasol are Barcelona, apparently.
I do like that we all got scammed into that random Twitter account. I mean, what's that LA guy who pretends to leak about the Lakers?
Oh, there's many of
Abraham.
Them. Ari Abraham, though.
Ari Abraham. I said to you that, like, we all fell for, like, SAP button Ari Abraham, and Look where it led us. But I hope that Marcus Hall is able to figure out something. I think that, like, I don't know, maybe he's going to return to the Raptors. I don't really want him to, but maybe.
I mean, I wouldn't hate it. It's really just a matter of term and skill and contract. But, you know, the goal, I think, on this podcast is kind of just to touch on everything. So essentially, we have created a static version of the live call-in show. I've asked for Twitter questions. A lot of people sent in questions. I picked out a few. Some of them are honestly repeats. Like, a lot of people asked about Victor Oladipo, for example. So I'm just going to take care of that. On this question from Riley, who asks, with Victor Oladipo apparently openly saying that he wants to leave Indiana now, do you think a trade for Norm plus McCaw and maybe a second round pick gets that trade done? I know this is going to hurt your feelings. I mean, are you going to be supporting Norm when he's averaging 15 for the Indiana Pacers?
I'll support Norm Powell wherever he goes. I think this is like a decent value trade for the Raptors. It's a good one. Victor Oladipo, though, I kind of don't love the idea of trading Norm, an asset who's kind of on the rise, even though he's injured too much, for an asset in Victor Oladipo, who's maybe not on the rise anymore, who's always injured. Victor Oladipo, obviously, way, way, way higher upside as a talent, better shooter, better driver, better ball handler. It's not really that close. But he has kind of the same problem as Norm Powell, is that he'll show you flashes of real brilliance for sure, but then be injured for 6 weeks at a time. So if the trade gets done, it'll be cool. We'll have brought in a better asset. In the same breath, we'll be bringing in a guy who isn't any more reliable than the guy we're sending out. And that's the biggest mark against both of them. That's my take. Yeah. Keep Norm. Do you feel differently?
No, here's the thing. It's really an upside play, I think, as you mentioned, because I would say there's like at least a 30 to 40% chance Norm is more productive as a player than Victor is next year. In terms of some of the similar, I mean, and I'm not saying a lot, but I mean, like, Victor just has not shown that yet. I mean, I remember that game he played against the Raptors. I think he was trying to stop a fast break from Pascal Siakam in the 2019 season. And yeah, I mean, he ruptured his quad. His knee had been giving him issues before that, and the Pacers kept playing him, which, you know, might lead to some discord if I were him, if I had an injury like that. But
I mean, Nate McMillan needed a better playoff record.
Listen, Nate McMillan has the Dwayne Casey first round out special, man. That guy, it's very unfortunate what happened to Nate, but now they have Nate Bjorkgren. It's going to be all different now. You know, Victor Men missed a whole year. Came back in January, I think, of this past year, played only 19 games this season, 3 games he came off the bench. It was not that good, quite honestly. Like, if you looked at it, for example, last year, Norman Powell outperformed Victor Oladipo. It wasn't even close, actually. You know, Norm averaged more points. He scored way more efficiently. Victor clearly wasn't fully healthy. And then you throw in the fact of, you know, when they went to the playoffs, Victor was like, I don't know, man, I might just sit out for my knee. And it's like, at that point, that would have been like 18 months.
Yep.
Since his knee,
since he was so good.
Yeah. So, like, what is going on with that? With that knee and that quad? And then when he did eventually play, you know, like, it was that Kyrie Irving against the Bucks for the Celtics kind of scenario where he was shooting, he was missing. People didn't like the fact that he didn't pass. He got swept. It's a whole deal. So, I mean, it's a distress asset. And I think on top of that, what's tricky about Victor is that if you looked at the totality of his whole career, he was a second overall pick in 2013. He's really only had one all-star level season. I mean, he's been to the all-star team twice. I guess maybe he deserved it the second time before the injuries, kind of, to be honest. But he had that one standout year, and that year he was really a standout player.
Phenomenal.
But that's one year.
That's about it.
Yeah. So it's really a matter of, do you feel like you want to roll the dice? Because something like Norm – plus, you know, you don't even have to put McCaw in the deal if you want to keep McCaw. You might throw in Stanley, you know, some late low picks, and, you know, that could get it done. The thing is, I feel like other teams could still beat that offer just because, you know, I could still see other teams valuing Victor a little bit more. And if that's the price, I think the Pacers could still get a slightly better deal than that. $21 million on an expiring player like Victor who has all-star upside is still pretty valuable. And I honestly could see, like, I don't know, the Bucks throwing in extra picks. Or
yeah, I also see the Lakers, you know, throwing, like, sure. KCP. Like, KCP's trading. I think he would have, like, better contract, better value perception than a guy like Norman Powell. You throw in Danny, a guy who's a proven vet, Danny, man. Able to help. He's going to get – I think Lakers fans are finished with him. But a guy like Danny is able to help that locker room. Clearly, like, lots of transition. Nate, Danny have some sort of relationship. Would help sort of help that team sort of through this next transition. I think that's, to me, would be a more compelling offer. I agree that, like, yes, this offer is good for the Raptors. I don't really see a way that the Raptors win that negotiation with whoever else would be competing.
Yeah. If I had to ultimately make the call, I would roll the dice there. I mean, it would suck to give up on Norm like this, but Norm has a player option at the end of next year. And he's probably not going to be, he's going to be paid more than 11 mil, I would feel. So yep. You're trading some security there. I mean, it's unfortunate, man. I mean, Norm has been a good piece for the Raptors for sure. But I mean, when you can roll the dice, potentially get a, you know, injured player, maybe you get him into the McKechnie system. To be honest, I'm on the fence. So that's the thing. I'm not going to be mad about it either. And I do believe it'll take more than just Norm plus like filler salary plus a late pick.
Yeah.
I really do think
And this no matter what this where Victor Oladipo ends up playing next year, there will be recriminations on this trade at the end of next season. Was he healthy? Was he not? Did he reach that sort of all-star fringe all-star potential, or did he not? Like, he could be maybe a top 30 guy in the league next season, or he could be just inside the top 100. Like, there's a big chasm for the value and production he'll have next season. So trading an asset or an asset or two on an already very thin Raptors bench rotation is kind of like you're putting a lot of your chips in the middle of the table for a guy who it'd be nice, but I don't know.
It's one of those things where on the surface you're like, wow, if it only takes Norm to get a potential all-star, sure, do it. But then the more you think about it, the more you're like talking yourself out of it. Like, I feel myself getting talked out of it now, because you think about it, you get Victor. He clearly feels like he's a star. He should start. Okay.
Yep.
Then you have Kyle, you have Fred want to re-signing on a new deal. Yep. He's going to want a bigger role, or not a bigger role, but the same role at least. Then Victor, not sure how the three of them work out there. Then Pascal, the shots that goes around. It's a lot to think of. And so if one of them has to come off the bench, I mean, that's not going to go well. So yeah, I'm not really sure. To be honest, I'm kind of talking myself out of it. But, you know, Norm, honestly, you know, we have Norm Powell at home. I've changed my stance.
We have Norm Powell at home.
We have Norm Powell at home. I've changed my stance. It's an attractive offer. I think it's because it's a buy low price, but this is like you respond to Kijiji ad, like, yeah, you know, you might get a good deal, but you might also, you know, not. So
this is very much, you know, like as is in brackets on the Kijiji auto ads.
Yeah. This is, you're like mad desperate. You know, you want a Switch, but they're sold out everywhere because somebody built a bot to buy up all the Switches in the GTA. And you're sitting at home and you want a Switch, and then you go on Kijiji, you buy a Switch for $600 and you open it up and it's a Nintendo DS. And
I mean, why didn't you use a much more topical example of PS5?
Yeah, you know, that was for first-hand experience. I had a really hard time acquiring a Switch.
I remember.
All right, next question. Okay,
so keep Norm.
Yeah, keep Norm. I mean, look, I just don't think Victor's the best fit here, quite honestly. But I wouldn't hate it either way. I'm really on the fence on it because it is so cheap. Next one, Simon says, what do you think of the DeMar to the Lakers rumors? So the rumors are that DeMar would go to the Lakers for Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma, maybe some other assets thrown in. First off, it would be really funny to me if, you know, 2018, it's DeMar gets you Danny plus Kawhi, and then 2020 – it's DeMar gets you Danny and Kuzma. So you've essentially traded Kawhi for Kuzma as the principals. Listen, that's enough to make Greg Popovich go into retirement, definitely.
Kuzma and $5 million, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I kind of...
Pirtle and other picks, whatever, but like essentially the principle would be that you have traded
the transitive Kawhi for Kuzma. Property.
disgusting.
I mean, it'd be cool if DeMar was able to do it. I don't really think it's a good trade unless the Spurs believe they can make Kyle Kuzma Bruce Bowen. And then it's like, is Bruce Bowen plus Danny Green? It's like not really a good, it's and how many more years does DeMar have in his contract? One more after this season?
This is the player option. So he's got to pick up the player option first, which you would think he is going to.
Will, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and the player option, I think probably 27, I believe, something like that for DeMar. I'll look it up. But, I mean, okay, let's look at it from two perspectives. Do you feel like this is a good deal for DeMar, for himself personally, to go to the Lakers? He's making 27.7, by the way.
For DeMar, I think it would be awesome for his brand. I really, you know, like
what is the DeMar brand?
I don't know, like tough. He's from Los Angeles.
Okay.
He talks about his feelings. I really like DeMar. He's just like a likable ball player. Like he's never really been in trouble that's embarrassed his organization or himself really. Seems to really like he's just been some of the like. He's just been in the playoffs.
I'm sorry.
He can take create his own shot. He can probably run the offense if LeBron's not on the court, and if LeBron's interested in managing his load next season because he is our Wash King. Could he score 20 points a game on that team and be a solid third option in crunch time? Yes. Yeah, it'd be cool to see DeMar DeRozan in the purple and gold. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it totally makes sense, if that's the best, most, if the most value you can get for DeMar DeRozan is Danny Green and the real Slim Shady. I don't know if it's a good sign for your organization, but it'd be cool to see like Winnie Harlow's pictures from the Riverwalk.
Oh, God.
No? You don't hear any Winnie Harlow at the Alamo jokes?
This is looking tough, man. I mean, look, Kyle Kuzma still has some talent, I guess. So, you know, he's social media talent for sure. I like it for DeMar. And I like it for the Lakers too, kind of honestly. I think they're going to need someone to take on more volume of play creation. Because if you look at it last year, like who could actually create a shot, right? And DeMar was a guy who could absolutely create a shot. Last year, I mean, people don't understand. DeMar shot 53% from the field as a shooting guard. Now, we know he doesn't shoot threes, so his, you know, field goal percentage raw is going to go up a little bit. But 53 for a guard, that's almost unheard of. That's like Dwayne Wade territory.
Yeah.
He shot 73% from within 3 feet. His finishing is next level. We all know that by now. Even in the long paint, like, you know, 3 to 10 feet range, 48% absurd, like 44% from long twos, which is not bad. And he still gets the free throw line quite a bit. His passing, ever since that 2018 season when the Raptors did their culture reset and revamped the passing, he's been quite good, above 5 assists per game. And he's, you know, he's at a point in his career where, like, you know, he's put up numbers, you know, things like that. I mean, I think going to LA, if he can get a ring out of it, which quite honestly, I mean, why not? He would be
good now. Winning the championship with or without DeMar DeRozan next season.
We'll see. But I mean, you know, it's the playmaking. It's that. I mean, the defense. Yeah, he's not going to defend well, and he's, you know, hasn't done that with San Antonio either. But at the same time, you know, you have LeBron there to keep him accountable. I guess you have AD there to just actually play defense. A lot of guys can play defense. LA was a pretty good defensive team.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. And again, it would be costing the Lakers very little because as much as Danny Green has some decent advanced statistics, I mean, like, damn, if you told the LA fans that you're trading Danny Green for, I don't know, current day Shaq, like at 45 years old with, like, you know, certified to be a cop in 3 different states.
Current day Shaq.
Yeah, I think people would be very happy about
TNT
it.
Set.
Bro, Kenny the Jet Smith, man. Let me, he's for Danny Green. Listen, I'm just saying Lakers fans are not very happy with Danny. And sure. If all it costs is Danny and Kuzma for DeMar, I think they would do it. And I think it would be a good deal for both sides. So honestly, rooting for it to happen, quite honestly, because, you know, I remember a couple years back, 2016, DeMar goes into free agency. The Lakers were interested. DeMar didn't even give the Lakers a meeting. And he was signing in Toronto. Obviously, the loyalty there. Unfortunately, he got moved, which is, you know, still a very sad episode. But, give DeMar a chance to go to L.A. Why not?
Yeah. It'd be nice to have something nice happen to somebody who I cheer for.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, next question from Kate. Of course, this can't be a Will and Josh pod without Kate asking a question. She asked two questions, actually. What is your survival plan for next week? Have you stocked up on coffee, Red Bull? Do you have emergency rations? So it's going to be a very busy week. The draft, free agency, it all going to take place in a week. Then training camp, then the Raptors have to decide where they're going to play. It's a lot of scenarios to plan for. Josh, are you going to be excited? Like, do you have a survival plan for what you're going to do next week?
I fortunately just get to follow this stuff as a fan. So I don't know, like look at it. Look at, Woj's Twitter when I'm not working. I don't know.
Yeah.
I fortunately don't have to record a reaction pod saying that the Raptors have signed Anthony Tolliver.
Oh man, I hope not. I hope not. But listen, if they do,
I like Anthony Tolliver's game.
I'll be talking about it for sure. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you missed post knee injury Patrick Patterson, then we have the right person for you.
But he's not a dickhead the way Patrick Patterson can sometimes sound.
Yeah, that is pretty important. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it'd be fun. I'm excited to see what you put out. What Blake. Dishes and Dimes, everybody does next week. It'll be fun.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great.
What's your plan?
Well, my plan is, so I have three cell phones currently, so that's going to help with just, you know, looking at my phone 24/7. My screen time is going to be very high. And also, you know, it's weird because I feel way better about my job when it's busy than when it's actually not. I feel like that's probably the inverse to how people normally are with their jobs, but the one that's busy, that means there's actually stuff to talk about, and you know that makes doing this job way easier. And as a fan, I'm just excited to see how it turns out. So I'm just genuinely excited. I mean, like, it's going to be a busy week for sure, but you know, it is what it is. The second part of this question from Kate: how do you feel about being the ball barber man and not the chicken man? End of an era, to be honest. Sad emoji. Josh, what do you think? Have you heard? I've already sent you I sent you the raw uncut version of the promo ad.
Raw and uncut are choice words.
not anymore with Manscaped.
Not anymore with Manscaped. How do I feel about Manscaped? I was talking to my partner about. I would hope that this latest sponsor, they're very thankful for their patronage and their dollars. I'm sure that it keeps the podcast afloat. It's cool. It is the end of the era. Being called a chicken man, and then previously your brother's friends at school telling him that your mom eats McChickens. Like, I like that there have been classic moments with each of the sponsors on this program. Uh-huh. I mean, we hope through this partnership and ones to come that we make more memorable moments. And yeah, I mean, if you're looking to shave your crotch, check out Manscaped.
Yeah. Well, listen, first off, wouldn't tell Manscaped how to advertise their business necessarily, but I feel like, you know, you're limiting the market if you're only going with 50%. I mean, you know, 100% of the people can use this product. I feel like that should be said.
Humanscaped.
And yeah, there you go. Humanscaped. Themscaped. You know what I mean? Like, you just Personscaped.
Yeah, there
you
go. Change it around.
No, but I mean, listen, one of the greatest things about this podcast is that the audience is like really receptive, and you know, we make jokes about it. I mean, I think the way I deliver some of the ads may be kind of funny in itself, but I mean, people have a good time with it. People roll with it, which is great. So, you know, yeah, there'll be more. There will be more. This is not the only one, but there'll be more.
Getting 99% of the hair off your junk. It's major key from William Liu.
Yeah, see, that's why you stand Matt Thomas all year, so you can get that one joke off. Go cop the product. All right, next question. That was a great question from Kate, as always.
Thanks, Kate.
Yeah. From Madav, what's the best case scenario for the Raptors center options if we can't afford to bring back Gasol or Ibaka? I would say at least six or seven people asked a variation of this question about the center position. I've touched on it in the previous episodes. They're not great. I have to say that they are not great. Yep. But I tried to think about some like maybe sexier options. So what we're looking for with a center is someone who can defend the rim and shoot a three. I'm not necessarily asking for them to be elite at those skills, but maybe you got to do one of the two, ideally both. And if you look around the league, there just aren't that many. And this is probably why Sarge is going to get paid, even though he is, you know, an older and it's not a great market for free agents. I put out four options here on the list. I got Wendell Carter / Lauri Markkanen. Maybe you can, you know, steal one of those guys off the Bulls.
Lauri Markkanen's team is very much like Raptors circa 2004-05 era.
Yeah.
Very, very Colangelo guy.
100%, man. Are you saying that because he has access to the European Union?
Yeah, he's got an EU passport.
Yeah. That's all it took. That's all it took for Mr. Carter.
That's why Alex McKechnie got hired before, you know, Scotland, before pre-Brexit, a member of the EU. It's Alex McKechnie.
Right.
EU passport.
That's correct. And if he had, I don't know. That's actually honestly one of the brightest signings that Colangelo has made was hiring him. I mean,
cool to get one of these Bulls. I like Lauri Markkanen. His rookie year was so good, and it's kind of fallen off since. I think that has a lot to do with the Bulls being a kind of in the desert the last 2 years.
Yeah,
I wonder how high they value him inside that building, because he's clearly talented.
He's definitely talented. He's still very young. He's 23 years old. He's through three seasons. He can clearly shoot. He's actually not a bad rebounder. And yeah, it's really just a matter of which one they want to go with. I mean, obviously they can kind of play them together, but you know, in the modern NBA, how many two big lineups do you see? Rarely. And Wendell Carter is also a guy I'm kind of excited about too, just because I think he's a little bit better defensively. He's got more of a more traditional kind of center offense kind of skill set, you know, finishing on the rim, you know, he has a jumper too, but doesn't use it nearly as much, but that'd be
I think the Bulls are higher on Wendell Carter. Like, I think he's less gettable.
I mean, it depends. If they kind of want to go on a defensive kind of mindset, then yeah, probably that. Otherwise, you know, whatever. I mean, don't be posturing, and those guys are lottery picks, and I'm sure they value both of them, but maybe something they can get done there. Because the other options, Alex Len, Rashawn Holmes, Kem Birch, falls off a cliff.
Shout out to Kem Birch.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of mutual Instagram followers, me and that guy.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, listen, you know, do your thing, man.
he's like, you know, same age, Canada. Shout out to Kem Birch.
Yeah, shout out to Kem Birch. I mean, listen, if we want to corner the market on talent from Montreal, we can do it.
And then we get Legans Dort, the legend. Legans Dort, I wonder how he's doing. He's probably just been the best best fall summer of his life.
Mm-hmm.
He was like one of the breakout stars of the bubble.
Can we talk about how he's shaped like Gengar? Like, exactly. Shaped exactly like Gengar. Or maybe I've been playing too much Pokemon recently, but...
No, we're not going to talk about
all right.
How man's shaped like a Pokemon.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, I guess, like, everybody's taking whatever they want off the Orlando Magic's roster. Like, they...
Oh, bro, come on, man. It's still Orlando Magic. They're like a perpetual, like... You know some houses. There's one house on my block that every Saturday, if the weather is above like 5 degrees Celsius, this man lays out his entire living room in his front yard. It's all trash, and it's just a perpetual garage sale. Like, I don't even know why he's doing this. Maybe it's like a physical exercise to move tires in and out, but no one's buying winter tires from your 2004, you know, Toyota Sienna. Like, and every single time that you know, every Saturday, it's out there, and that's the Orlando Magic. Like, they're just a perpetual garage sale.
On sale, yeah, always. Yeah,
everybody marked to go. Like, yo, for real. Like, Aaron Gordon, yeah, you probably gotta go. You know, Fournier, definitely gettable. You know, DJ Augustine, he's a free agent, probably gettable. You know, all these guys, Vucevic, yeah, you can get Vucevic.
Markel, yeah, it's sure. It's just weird. Yeah, it's everyone's gotta go.
Yeah.
Jonathan Isaac, nobody wants him, but he can probably go too.
He's not even going to play next year because they restarted the season too soon. So he's gone down.
Yeah.
Plus, he's, you know, one of the, he was, I don't know. Yeah. Politically was unique in the NBA. But Kem Birch, yeah. I mean, I don't dislike Kem Birch. I like his skill set. He can protect the rim.
Yeah. I like Kem Birch. It feels like mean to pick on the Orlando Magic. Let's pick on the Bulls. Give us one of your good young centers.
Yeah, please. Just do it. I mean,
Whichever ball son is available in Chicago in a couple days. So, you know, Lauri Markkanen, he had like he appeared on like a Vice program. So maybe he can, that like the media empire of the ball brand pushes him out. He comes to Toronto. I don't know. We get him on the podcast here, you know, a Jamaican guy, a Chinese guy, and a guy from Finland. That's probably never been done in sports media.
Definitely not. I'm just going to say definitely not. But yeah, let's do it. I mean, to be honest, the real answer is there's just not a lot of great options at center out there. And again, there's a dearth of options at center who can both protect the rim and shoot threes. We're very spoiled. I know we complain about Mark and Serge. There's, you know, they're a little older, whatever. Like, it's just not a lot of guys that can have that skill set. So please, please retain both if you can.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, next one from Chris. How panicked should I be about Masai's contract? Because I'm pretty damn panicked. So I don't know what the deal is. What could possibly be the holdup? If MLSE is like, look, we want to negotiate, we want to make this deal happen. Obviously, you made the Raptors a phenomenally successful franchise, you and your whole staff. Let's get that done. Like, what is the holdup? Can they not just find, like I don't know, a day to just
sit down and draw up the paperwork?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's very confusing to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's
just strange. No, if I had any insight, I would have already shared it. But no, I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know what's going on, man. I'm hoping it gets done. Again, it's kind of like the Serge and Mark thing. You can't just let both walk. You at least need to keep one of the two. So, you know, I would say if Masai left, I would feel comfortable with Bobby running the show. I mean, but at the same time, I would much prefer both of them to stay. Masai is obviously the best exec in the league.
Like, where does Masai go?
I don't know. I mean, there's always people talking about, oh, you know, he can join politics or stuff like that. I'm like, I don't know, man. It doesn't really seem like Masai wants to run for, what would he even run for, you know? I mean, maybe he could. I wouldn't put anything past him. He's a guy who can definitely make a lot of things happen. I just mean, like,
I don't know. Could he get Bill Blair's old seat? No, that already happened.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe I think he'll stay. I just don't know what the whole, maybe he's just waiting leverage.
I mean, I guess look, Masai is a patient man and there is no specific need to sign it right now. It's just kind of more of a neurotic point for us to have to worry about it because he's a year away, but
it's not like he doesn't have a contract. Metro Morning yesterday, or not Metro Morning, the Matt Galloway, he now hosts whatever the show is. But he gave an interview yesterday. Did you listen to it?
No. Or what did he say?
He's already talked about like the return to play, talked about the Raptors' experience in the bubble, and how he wants to lead the organization into returning sports in the city. Every indication he's given is that he's thinking of a future where he's still running the show for the Raptors. So I don't know. Maybe it's a priority for him to get these guys, like, put together the team that they're going into this season with and help the organization get the season off the ground. I just don't know what the holdup is on saying, you know, I'm going to be a president of the team for life.
Yeah. Masai, listen.
Maybe it's the bad connotation of guys from Africa being president for life that he doesn't want to sign that deal.
We are fully ready for you to be president for life. Take over, military coup, whatever you need. Just do it.
We got you.
Every Raptor fan is supporting, you know?
It's, yeah, well,
we're going to be like China.
The rally starts at Young Dundas Square.
No, we're really, the Raptor fan base is going to be like China. We're just going to support one person to be the president forever. And yeah, honestly, he's going to have like, you know, 95% approval rating, which is, yeah, it's going to be rare. All right, next question from Alex. Is DeJuan Hernandez part of the future of this team? Is he going to play since there probably won't be any G League at all? To be honest, I'm not totally sure there will be no G League. If they do a G League, maybe I could see them doing a kind of weird bubble kind of situation, but I wouldn't count out G League altogether. What is DeJuan Hernandez? It's very tricky to know because usually you get a lot of data on a guy in the first year. He didn't really get that this year.
So
he only played 9 games at the G League level. He averaged 14 points per game on 40% shooting, which is not what you want, especially from a center. Rebounded it well, which is good. He rebounded it well when he was with the Raptors too. You know, in the very limited time he played, didn't really shoot the three. Didn't really get to the free throw line under 2 attempts per game, shot like 50% there. Again, we're talking about very few, very small samples. So maybe he does shoot free throws well, but we never know. Steal nearly 2 blocks per game. He's athletic. I mean, I remember watching him in summer league. You know, I would say he was behind Chris Boucher in terms of development, and that's not necessarily surprising, but you know, kind of a similar player in the sense that very athletic, small for his, like thin for his frame, like kind of affected his finishing a little bit. You know, some guard-like skills. We've seen him put on the floor a couple of times. But I mean, yeah, it's still pretty raw. I wouldn't really expect him to contribute. If there was a longer off season and, you know, you can get a lot of work in, then sure, maybe he would have improved significantly. But I'm still a little bit hesitant to say he's going to be a major contributor. But I do want to see more out of him because he does have some pretty good athletic tools. You know, I'm assuming he has, you know, a good mindset about working and stuff like that. And if he does, then, you know, the Raptors, if you can't succeed with the Raptors as a prospect, you might not be a prospect, you know?
That's facts. But I don't know. Do the, like, who are the 6 to 8 guys who are on that Raptors bench next season? Like, we have, like, Norm Powell, Matt Thomas, Paul Watson Jr. seems like he's ready. Stanley Johnson, who I predicted at the end of the season is going to have a much larger role, and that scares me and everybody else because it seems like the cupboard's starting to go dry, and that typically happens when you're a team that goes out and wins a championship. Yep. You trade off a lot of your sort of assets that are coming up. Like, there's no Terrence Ross, there's no JV, there's no he's in Dallas now. Oh my god,
DeLon Wright.
Yep. Like, they're just all these young guys who are coming up through the system are starting to go. Like, we're talking about maybe trading Norm and Pat McCall. Like, who is, like, and the Terrence Davis situation, we won't get into it too much, but I don't think he's going to be making very many appearances for the Raptors next season. Right now, it seems like that Raptors bench is, as Chris Boucher, very, very, very thin. So I wouldn't be surprised if DeJuan is traveling with the team next season, is on that, is like dressed regularly. Maybe he's not. Yeah.
Well, he's got a contract. So playing he's going to be on the team as long as Raptors guarantee him, which they probably will.
But I think he's going to play like 4 minutes a game next season. Like, I think that there's a possibility that he has like minutes to play just because, you know, we're running out of names to play minutes, and the season's contracted. Or the offseason so contracted that you're not going to want to have Kyle, Serge if he returns, Mark definitely if he returns, playing very many minutes. So it's going to be a lot of Chris Boucher and maybe DeJuan Hernandez playing those 4 or 5 minutes. That's my case, is that I actually think that it may need to happen, which I think the Raptors bench is going to suck a lot. And I think that playing DeJuan Hernandez a handful of minutes is a part of that. And that's fine. I believe in building these guys up, but yeah, it's that it costs you in the win loss column to develop your players.
Yeah. Hopefully the G League's there, because I would love to see him get like a half a season in the G League first, show that he's next level, and then come up. But yeah, I mean, to your point about the Raptors needing talent, I mean, they just need more guys in the system. They need more talent in the pipeline. And I hope they can do that through the draft this year. And that leads to the next question from offseason OG at Lowry Time. Any draft prospects you like around the 29th pick? So, you know, Josh, you and I both aren't draft experts by any means. So I have pulled four names here that I feel, I mean, honestly, I've watched like the 10 minute videos on these guys, which is probably most of what people watch for most of these guys. So I like Kareem Mané. He's been a name that's been touted a lot. So he's a Canadian guard. He's 6'5", 7 foot wingspan. He shot 94 out of 100 free throws at the combine, which is pretty impressive. He actually wasn't a great free throw shooter otherwise. So, I mean, that could either say he really improved his form or he got really lucky. Although, to be honest, 94 out of 100, it's hard to be lucky on that large of a sample. You don't just luck into shooting 94%. He also had the second fastest three-quarter court sprint. Obviously, that is definitely a big need. But basically, the way I'm thinking about him is like, you know, the Raptors prototype in terms of how they drafted, right? 6'5", 7 foot wingspan reminds me of DeLon Wright. Reminds me of Norman Powell, for example. He's athletic. He needs to improve many aspects of his game. He's a little bit, he's younger. He's a little more raw as well. But, you know, not even necessarily the 29th pick. If the Raptors have, you know, the 59th pick and they're trying to pick a guy, I really wouldn't mind adding another Canadian guard to the team because I do like his overall skill set. He is a point guard as well.
Yep.
Sadiq Bey, I talked about it in the last episode with Katie, but he probably goes above where the Raptors are picking at 29, but kind of a, you know, a Jay Crowder type. I don't know, it doesn't sound that sexy, but if you can get Jay Crowder the 29th pick, you'd definitely be happy with that.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, from Villanova, really eager to
NBA defend. Ready. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Villanova has produced a lot of great players. Not necessarily like elite players outside of Kyle and some other guys maybe, but he can definitely play. He can definitely defend. I could see him in a playoff rotation. So, you know, again, 29th pick, you'll be pretty happy. And then Xavier Tillman's a guy people have mentioned, 6'10", you know, defensively sound. He won, you know, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Experienced player as well. So maybe that's kind of something that's, you know, causing him to slide down the draft. But, you know, again, another guy who I would feel comfortable in a year or two kind of putting him in a playoff rotation. And then even his teammate, Cassius Winston, at Michigan State, you know, I would say a very savvy point guard, especially at the college level, pretty skilled. Honestly, he has a little bit of some people compare him to Kyle in terms of just like a thicker build, you know, a clever kind of player. Not necessarily flashy. I would say he's more like a Jalen Brunson from the Mavs kind of guy, but definitely a solid player who, again, similar to Xavier, you know, he's skilled, he's experienced, he's talented for his age, or he's, you know, he's capable for his age, and a guy who could probably come in and contribute. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not a draft expert by any means, but I mean,
it also seems like things are such a crapshoot. The Raptors are such in a golden era of developing prospects that I feel pretty hands. Like I don't follow the draft typically, and in a year like this, I don't think there's much insight gained. I think so long as the Raptors bring in high character, high motor, athletic wing guardy player, I think they'll work it out.
Yeah,
and that the high character is the only thing that I'm really hoping for, and I feel like as you get closer to draft day, you saw it in the NHL, you see stories come out about these guys. So I hope the Raptors are able to avoid one of those crappy situations.
Right. Next question from Jeff Lowe. How much will Lowry's performance improve since it's looking like he'll be able to play golf all winter? And it seems like a lot of NBA players love golf and love avoiding to pay state income tax. Are NBA players secretly Republicans?
You saw the like voting returns for black men and Trump.
Well, I mean, what were they?
They increased over the 2016 election. So maybe, right. maybe you have a nice little unifying theory. I don't know. All rich guys like to golf. Again, there are lots of people who aren't rich who like to golf. I hope that Kyle has fun if they go to Tampa and he gets to work on his golf game. It seems to have like made Kyle in this playoff run for lots of reasons seemed extraordinarily relaxed. And maybe that had to do with golf. Maybe that had to do with him winning a chip and, you know, the monkey was off his back. But for whatever reason, it seemed like Kyle had a very good time. So maybe if he plays golf, he's not on edge. That back's nice and loose. You know, hoping for a healthy season from Kyle. It's a good idea.
Have you played golf?
Yeah, a little bit. I like golf. Okay. It's like a, just like it's kind of like a afternoon in the sun drinking. I don't think it's.
I feel like Kyle's like real serious about golf. Like I've seen him in like a ready-made commercial or whatever the golf brand is called.
But he's good at it. Like I think it's.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever been golfing?
No. What?
Is there like a sport in China that, like, you do as you get older, like once you start to slow down, but you can do it.
Yes. Into your... Yep. Have you seen basically large crowds of older Asian people doing dancing, coordinated, choreographed okay. dancing? Essentially, that's what we do.
But that's not,
we do
that's...
Tai Chi in the mornings. Maybe like I don't know, man. Badminton, you know, ping pong, stuff like that. But no, I don't think there's a huge Chinese appetite for golf at the moment. But I mean, maybe it'll get there because it is pretty different in terms of a sport.
Yeah, Tai Chi is different vibe. It's like
100%.
I don't know. Different. It's like there is that like you know like machismo kind of dick swinging quality that golf has, where you like oh
which
you
is know. Very strange to me. You're swinging you're putting a ball into a hole. Like I mean
it's a hole that's very far away.
And everyone's really muted, and you're wearing like vests. How could you have machismo when you're wearing a vest? Like a sweater vest. Yeah,
it's real trash outfits to like
talk. But you're wearing like,
I don't know, we all watched The Last Dance.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's Michael. I don't know. But you know, if I'm sure the golf thing is actual advantage for some of these cities when they're picking. I didn't really want to play in Tampa, but actually, I was thinking about this. So they probably have to change the conferences. If the Raptors do choose to play in Florida, it wouldn't make any sense for them to play the majority of their games against Atlantic Division opponents if they're going to be playing in Florida. So then if the Raptors are in the Southwest, that would be six teams in the Southwest and four teams in the Atlantic. That doesn't make any sense. You got to pull someone away from the Southwest to balance it out. And if you're going to do that, you're probably going to take Washington because Washington is the closest one. So Washington goes into the Atlantic, the Raptors go into the Southeast. And if you look at the composition of the actual conferences, you have the Sixers, you have the Celtics, you have even the Nets. Those are going to be very difficult teams. And then the best team in the Southeast is like Miami, which like, yeah, they went to the finals, but the Raptors are as good as Miami. Like we could, you know, play a lot of those games. Then it's like Charlotte, Orlando, Atlanta. Like, you know, I would kind of love to beat up on the Southeast. So to be honest, I wouldn't hate it too much. It might be easier for the Raptors schedule on the whole.
I don't want, like, I agree with you, obviously, that it'd be fun to see the Raptors win, like, 60 games. I think the idea of watching the Raptors have to play Trae Young
all the time,
a year, constantly, every Friday, Raptors, Hawks, I don't think I'd be up for it. You get a lot of content from the No Dunks guys. They'd always be very top of mind. But it sounds pretty cursed, if you ask me. But yeah, the Atlantic Division is going to be also benefit of the Wizards playing in the Atlantic, more opportunities for John Wall to be in New York City. We don't need to go into those details, but great content.
That was pretty great content. It's unfortunately had to be made to apologize so profusely. This last minute question came in from my guy Sam Halako at Raps Fan.
Shout out, Sam.
An OG in this game, definitely. Can we trade for Harden? So, you know, it would be difficult to trade for Harden, I feel like. But honestly, let's say you told them, like, listen, we'll give you Pascal Siakam for James Harden. I mean, you probably have to balance out the books. You might have to throw in another piece, I guess. But something along those lines, Pascal for Harden. I feel like Harden might be gettable for a Pascal, you know? I don't know. I'm not saying necessarily you do it, but can the Raptors get Harden? Do they have enough assets to do it? Honestly, I don't know. What do you say if you're the Houston Rockets? If you can get Pascal Siakam, that's not bad. You can play defense from your star player for once.
Yeah. I mean, James Harden's my favorite player in the NBA to watch play basketball. Not in the context of a team, but when he has the ball in his hands, what he does with it is, like, insane.
Mm-hmm.
I for that guy. I don't think it's possible for – I just seem like I don't think Tillman Fertitta wants to bring on another max contract, especially one who's not going to drive ticket and merch sales the way that James Harden does and will and can, will continue. Not that Pascal can't get there, but he is about as small a celebrity as an NBA superstar can be.
Oh, come on, man.
Not to be disrespectful. A celebrity. I think that has something to do with the market, something to do with how long he's been very good.
Yeah, yeah.
For another thing to do with his, the character of his play. I mean, it'd be awesome to see him finally do that, but to see Pascal get to that threshold. But yeah, I don't really see this trade happening. I think Masai also believes in Pascal. It'd be kind of messed up for him to send him to the most bad vibes organization in the NBA that is not actually terrible. Like, I think the Detroit Pistons are like the most bad vibes, but they're also like terrible roster right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, as presently constructed right now, the talent on the Houston Rockets is very good, but nobody, they're bad vibes, terrible vibes.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, even if James Harden wants out, I still don't feel like the Rockets trade him. Just because a player wants out does not mean necessarily he gets moved. James Harden is under contract through 2022. Then he has a player option for 46.8 American U.S. dollars. Okay?
Yeah.
So he's under contract effectively through 2023. You don't need to move him now. Yeah, he's unhappy. Just move Westbrook. All right, and then bring another star, then see that fail, and then have him move that star, and then do it over again.
Is there a star that you think it could work with James Harden? And James Harden plus X is happiness. Who's X?
It would have to be a star player.
You have to, like, top 20 guy.
It has to be a star who can create their own shot, but be very happy not having the ball, play a lot of defense for his position, and... I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like him and Kyle would be great together.
Oh, I actually think it'd be very funny, and I think they would succeed if James Harden and Giannis could bury the hatchet and team up together. Wow. I think they'd be very, very.
There's no coming back, man.
I had to develop skills. What they do well.
Yo, James Harden called Giannis a power and pace player. If you watch any soccer, you understand what power and pace necessarily mean. He essentially called Giannis
a PMP player. Yeah,
he's unbelievable.
Called him Kylian Mbappe. Yeah, I mean, shout out to James Harden. Shout out to everybody who makes a living in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the Raptors have enough assets to get a James Harden. I don't know if it makes the complete sense from a team building perspective to get James, but you know, very talented player.
Miserable in Toronto.
What are the Raptors going to be doing with James Harden? Are we going to be winning a championship with James Harden? Are we going to be having a happy team to root for, a long-term success? Are we going to be attracting future stars with James Harden? I don't really know.
Just lots of footage of him inside of Drake's gym. That's it.
Yeah,
that'd be cool too. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know if the Toronto economy. Well, I mean, it will help the Toronto economy for sure, but let's just take two more because I actually wanted to get this stuff at the end of the pod. Next one from Alex, not Wong. What do you think Paul Watson's role is going to be next season, or do you think the team's going to let him go? I don't think the team's going to let him go. I think they've been speaking quite positively about him, and I think they're kind of excited. I feel like he can probably get the Rondé minutes. It's a very different player. You know, Rondé is sort of like inside the paint. You know, hustle, all out hustle, activity. You know, Paul's a lot more
offensive cool. Rebounds that go in.
I mean, just collecting his own rebound. You know what I mean? You know, stylistically, they're very different wings. Paul is definitely more of a smooth kind of player. He shoots the three. You know, a little lighter as well. So I don't know if he can play small ball center against Karl Anthony Towns like Rondé did. But yeah, I mean, you know, functionally, I think he's probably going to take like something similar to what Terrence Davis did, you know, cutting, shooting threes, getting on transition, occasionally creating, but probably not. But yeah, I mean, I see him on the team for sure.
Do you think Paul Watson skips over Maiman and Stanley Johnson?
They might give Stanley another look, another chance. But yeah, probably. I mean, it's easier to play and win through the style that Paul Watson plays than I think the way Stanley plays. Because you would need to give Stanley the ball, have him operate, and that's a formula for losing at the moment.
Yeah, it's a bad idea with Stanley Johnson's current skill set. I'm curious to see what that group of guys are going to look like in training camp, who will have become closer to being a consistent, productive member of an NBA team rotation. But yeah, I think that like small forward position is like a total mess right now, and we'll see what happens, who the Raptors bring in free agency, if there's trades to be made, all of that stuff. I think that'll have a huge impact on that part of the team. The backcourt set, the front court is a different set of questions. It's what's happening on the wing.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a path there. So, you know, Paul, I'm excited to see what's going on with Paul. All right. Last one from Illiquor. It's just a bottle of Hennessy on Twitter. And the handle, it's @its_me_liquor. So, all right. Straightforward. With the Fresh Prince reunion everywhere, I keep seeing the phrase, quote, OG on Viv. So if the Raptors were the Banks family, who would they be? I.e. OG is clearly Joffrey, not Vivian. Or Jeffrey, not Vivian.
Jeffrey.
Yeah, so I didn't watch Fresh Prince. It was before I came to Canada, I think. And I didn't have
to. Maybe a little bit, yeah. But, I mean, it's been on reruns since then, but yes.
Well, yeah. But, you know, clearly I was watching Friends, you know. Unfortunately, I was watching Prince. But, I mean, yeah, I feel like you can weigh in on this for sure.
I do like this question. I agree that Jeffrey is clearly OG British, you know, kind of contempts everybody. I'm very acerbic wit. It's excellent. Great job, Liquor. You really did it again. I think at the corner, at the center of this conversation, we have to understand that Kyle Lowry is Will Smith.
Philly, yeah.
So, you know, from Philly, makes a big – so I also like that – sort of Will Smith was in a big kerfuffle, as you might know, before he made the most important move of his life, found a new family, and then lived out some of the best years of his life with them. Kyle Lowry coming out of Memphis and then Houston arrives in Toronto. And that's where he meets who would be his closest ally, biggest rival, a great foil in Masai Ujiri. Let's say Masai is Carlton Banks. I think that kind of works. So they're, you know, they're sort of contrasting styles, but where they meet in the middle is what brings the best out of both of them.
Does Masai have the corniness?
I mean, does Masai have the corniness? Masai is very earnest. He really believes in his ideas. Extremely
earnest. Yeah, I do remember his
kind of that same vibe.
Okay. All right. I mean, he's obviously a little more cartoonish because he's a TV character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I do remember
Masai's, none of these comparisons are going to be perfect.
Well, of course. But Masai's championship speech, he did say, he got up on stage and he said, I said we have one in Toronto and we have one in Toronto. And then he says, yeah. And, you know, it's quite earnest. I felt like he could have given a better quote there.
Like just a bit more witty.
That's just like so over the top earnest. Like it's like your dad telling you, I told you hit a bunt single to win the game and you did it. Yeah. And then like high-fiving a 5-year-old at a little league game, you know?
Another one that I thought of when I read this question is sort of the Aunt Viv change, like the two Aunt Vivs. I think OG Aunt Viv is Serge Ibaka and new Aunt Viv is Marc Gasol. Sort of, they played that same role. They gave you very different things. Mm-hmm. Janet Hubert, in her great performance in that dance class episode, it's a lot like, you know, Serge Ibaka's media ventures where, you know, he shows him a place you may not expect him, but he's unbelievably dominant. You know, best basketball content creator in the game. It's not close. JJ Redick can keep it. Sort of a new Aunt Viv, very friendly. I remember friendly,
they brought a CIA very... officer to his podcast. You would never find that on this, man. You will never find that on this.
I mean, it's crazy that he had somebody in the CIA's phone number and he couldn't call them in the back of an Uber. But Marc Gasol, a lot like new Aunt Viv, made for TV, sort of a bit of a changing of the guard. So that one, I think, works. I don't have one for Uncle Phil. Like, who's the Uncle Phil of this Raptors team? Like, I don't really. Yeah, I don't have a. I don't have an answer. I do think like an easy one. Norm Hillary, kind of same. A little sort of flighty. Mm. Will disappear for episodes at a length. Nobody knows why. Ashley Banks could be Fred VanVleet, a little big for his britches, some may say, but very much a star on the come up of their in their own sort of just in somebody else's system.
Okay.
DJ Jazzy Jeff is DeMar DeRozan, thrown out of the house very famously. It's kind of like it's like if Nick Nurse is Uncle Phil, then it kind of works. Like, you know, Nick Nurse grabbing DeMar DeRozan by the scruff of his neck saying, you don't shoot enough threes or play enough defense. You got to get out of here. Nikki Banks, I don't have an answer for, but I just wanted to say the name Nikki Banks. That's about it. I think I've done a pretty good job. I hope that if you were listening to this, you thought any of these were good. And if you think I'm wrong, feel free to tweet me at Not Josh Hart.
There you go. All right. Well, that does it for the questions on the podcast. You know, two more items to get to. One, it won't be a podcast with the two of us if we didn't give some Stanley suggestions. It's been a minute. I'll start with my Stanley suggestion. So, you know, a lot of people have been saying the new Pokemon games are not great. And they're not even that new, to be honest. They've been out for a year plus now. But there's like two added zones with downloaded content. Yeah, you got to pay money for it, whatever. It's fun. I've been enjoying it. That's probably why I've been making less content. It's because I've been catching every Pokemon in existence. There's like 800 plus now, almost 900. And yeah, you might say, well, listen, why is a 20, you know, a 7-year-old person playing so much Pokemon? Well, listen, it's the pandemic. All right. A lot of things can happen. I found a lot of comfort in playing this game that I played all my life, and it's out there. So, you know, whatever one you get, I suggest it. And listen, if you want to help me trade so I can complete my Pokedex, let me know. So that's my Stanley suggestion. Josh, do you have one that's, you know, maybe slightly more, I don't know, mature than the one I have?
I guess so. And this is like a real Stanley. I think Stanley will really enjoy this one.
Okay.
Last weekend, I watched a documentary on Showtime via Crave here in Canada called The Comedy Store. It was told about the Comedy Store, Comedy Club in Los Angeles. It's sort of history. You know, it's where David Letterman, Jim Carrey, Damon Wayans, Joe Rogan, I don't know, comics came from. I don't really follow comedy that closely, but it's just cool to see a story told about all these famous people who knew each other. And I know that Stanley Johnson is a bit of a comedy fan and a bit of a podcast fan, so I think he might enjoy it. I thought it was pretty interesting to see the story told of this place that's been around for like 45, 50 years and has had all of these famous people pass through its doors. So that's my Stanley suggestion this week. It felt good to have like a really solid one. I mean, you and I both know that half the time we make these up. Yes, but I know the next thing that we wanted to talk. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What were we saying?
The next thing that we're going to talk about, it's not as fun as Stanley's suggestions.
Yeah. I mean, look, listen, it's not even close to as fun. Yeah, I mean, especially for people who listen to the live show, you knew about Ashley, producer Ashley, very hardworking, definitely made everything go behind the scenes. Unfortunately, she's no longer with Yahoo Sports Canada. And, you know, I'm personally, for me, like, you know, I'm on camera all the time. I'm talking on podcasts all the time. There's a lot of, you know, when you're on air, like you are like the tip of the iceberg, but there's like a whole production staff and crew that helps makes that possible and supports people and, you know, behind running back, things like that. Ashley was like central to all of that. And she was, you know, incredible to work with, great person, a great friend. And yeah, for me, I'm personally very bummed that no longer be able to coordinate with Ashley on these things. But yeah, definitely just wanted to say a huge thank you to Ashley because yeah, I mean, you know, even getting something like the Colin show off the ground essentially twice, because we obviously had to get it off the ground the first time to do it one, you know, before COVID, and then of course the version outside of COVID, put in a lot of work. And even something as like day one, her first day at the company, it was the day the Raptors had the championship parade. I think it was the day before the parade. And I hosted a 3-hour live podcast that was streamed. We had not done a lot of streaming at that point. We had to figure out the technicals there to how to stream the thing. Then the actual coordination of getting 14 guests on, some of them in studio, some of them through virtually calling people. I believe, Josh, you were on it too.
Yep.
You know, she pulled that off, and that was like the first day that she was here. She's been great. I mean, honestly, you know, when we had, layoffs before, during the middle of the season, I remember, because that was the day Kawhi came back and got his ring. She took on two beats, and she did both the Leafs beat and the Raptors beat. And I'm freaking exhausted just doing the Raptors beat, and I just write and talk. To do two beats is kind of unheard of. And again, like, that's Asha. Like, she very capable of, took on a lot of these roles. And again, I'm just very much going to miss working with Ashley. Josh, I know you definitely worked a lot with Ashley as well.
None of the stuff that we've been able to do the last, it's been like the Colin show, that was just about a year ago that it started. And the stuff that I've been able to do with you at Yahoo wouldn't have been possible without Ashley. And it would feel weird to get on and chat without, acknowledging the tremendous effort her and so many of the people we've been able to work with behind the scenes have had in getting the stuff that we do off the ground. And it's going to be, tough to not see her face go red whenever Vitaly would call in and we'd see her in the studio and we know a good one was queued up next. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she's going to be around and she's going to do incredible things with the teams that she's a part of going forward. It's just, if you hadn't taken an opportunity to thank Ashley for the work that she's done at Yahoo, I encourage all of you to do so. Her handles on Twitter, I think it's at Ashley Hufford. And if you are listening to us and a member of the media, hit her DMs. But Ashley, Will and I appreciate so much of the work you've done with us, and I hope to work with you again someday down the road. And that's the show.
It's tough, man. It's tough. The other day that the last time I worked with her, Ashley, was the last time I worked outside of my house, period, was the Norman Powell bowling event, which at the time could have been a potential, obviously unknowingly, Norman Powell bowling super spreader event, because that was also the night that Rudy Gobert tested positive and the world, at least the Western world, shut down. In Asia, it already happened months before that. But and that was the last time I worked with Ashley. And we were just like, I guess we should go home and, hopefully we don't die from COVID.
Wash your hands.
And obviously, thankfully, neither of us had it. But seriously, a huge thank you to Ashley. She, again, just a titan behind a lot of the Raptors Over Everything content, definitely a lot of Run It Back as well.
NBA banter.
NBA banter. We always forget about NBA banter. A very good show, a precursor.
Very good show.
Precursor to the group chat. So, anyway.
NBA banter is such a bad name.
So it wasn't actually called NBA banter or NBN banter, which is essentially what I had called it. It was... What was it called?
Something I don't
NBA,
remember.
Around the NBA, something like that. It was the
general... just remember you saying, I remember coming to the office and you said, what do you think about the name? N banter.
No, it looks good on print. Right. NBA ter. NBA ter.
Oh man. Memories. Oh,
yeah. No, seriously. So anyway, thanks to everyone for listening. Josh, thanks for coming on. Any parting words?
Shout out to Manscaped one time.
Listen, be mature, all right? Use that product,
If you're looking for something,
Listen, you can't be playing Pokemon but also not using Manscaped. At this age in life,
there's so many children
at least one or both.
Who play Pokemon and don't need Manscaped. And okay, that's the way it should be.
I mean, if you are of my age and above, to be honest. You got to pick one of the two, to be honest, at some point.
That's facts. All right, well, I guess maybe the show will come back and we'll talk about basketball and I'll see you guys all then. Until then, have fun.
No, it'll come back. No, hold on. It'll come back, all right? We're still going to be trying to make it work.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, we're going to do our best. We got to know what Vitaly's been up to.
I mean, I'm honestly assuming probably the same thing that everyone else has been up to. Probably a lot of staying at home. But you never know, man.
You never know with that guy.
You definitely never know. So, right. Yeah, I appreciate everyone for listening. Josh, thanks for coming on. And, yeah, be back with more draft free agency content next week. I can't wait to talk about Fred VanVleet's free agency or Serge Ibaka's free agency once again.